name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The feast of the Theophany, the feast of the Epiphany, the revelation of God in the world, departs from us this coming Wednesday, that is the leave-taking of the feast of Theophany. And with that, we have completed the winter Pascha that began with our fast in November as we prepared to celebrate the birth of Christ. This is the point at the end of the Feast of Theophany, when our thoughts turn to the fact that we must go into the world with the message that Christ has come to preach, the message that he first gives when he says the same words that St. John the Baptist had said, but with new meaning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is at this point, having been born into the world, grown up in Nazareth, been baptized, and having confronted the temptations of the enemy, the fallen angel, Lucifer, the devil himself, and put him to shame, that it is time for Christ to go into the world and to change the world. And the signal that that is the case is the arrest of St. John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ, whose mission it was to prepare for his revelation. And also, according to the flesh, the cousin of Jesus. If Jesus had stayed in the area, certainly he would have been arrested next. There would have been a contest, a conflict of wills between Herod and Christ. Father John Baer mentions that Jesus avoids that confrontation, that unnecessary conflict that would resolve nothing, exactly as we are advised to do ourselves whenever we're tempted to try to sort things out by some kind of confrontation with another person, a contest of wills to make things the way we think they ought to be. Sometimes we call it clearing the air. Very seldom clears the air. Generally fills the air with smoke, lightning, fog, all sorts of things. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't defend his family's honor before the king or any of that nonsense. It wouldn't change anything. He has come to change the world. When it comes to confronting what needs to be confronted, he has already done that. He did that when he confronted and did not avoid the necessary battle with the enemy. He dealt with that at the level where it makes a difference. And now, preaching for the first time those words, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he goes out into the world that he has come to change. He goes out to live his life in the world. And the things that he does and says in the world will gradually transform the lives of those that he comes in contact with, all the way up to the point of the final contest, the final battle that makes a difference. And that battle will take place in his journey to the cross. In our own lives, when we try to gain the resources, the understanding, the necessary thing that must be done in order to go into the world and live our lives in a meaningful way, a way that has been made possible by Christ, receiving his message is where we have to begin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the problem is, we have spent 2,000 years packing the Christian faith in cotton and fog, so that it is possible for us to think of ourselves as Christians and go through the motions and not hear his words and not respond to them. When we hear the word repent in English, as Herman Middleton so clearly explained last night in his talk at St. John the Latter, the word repent in English means to feel remorse, to feel sorry, to feel regret for something that we have done that we ought not to have done. And that isn't what Jesus told people to do. It won't change us. It won't change the world. And Herman, who never gets called Dr. Middleton, which isn't right, because he is, after all. Herman explained that the word in Greek that we translated as repent, metanoia, means much more. Meta means to change, metamorphosis, for example, to change in form or shape. But here, meta is followed by the word nous. Meta nous. That's what repentance means. The sacrament of confession is the sacrament of the change of our spiritual sense of reality. We had had a sense of spiritual reality that was centered on ourselves, not realistic, and was delusional. And so we did whatever it is that we did. We missed the mark. And it is only by that change of our sense of spiritual reality, our map of the way things are, you might say, that anything will ever be different. And without that, it's like, and this is strange to think here in Georgia, because we don't have this kind of snow, but I know a lot of you are not real Southerners. And even those who are may have been up north and experienced what I'm thinking of. When you get stuck in the snow, your back wheels just spin. It's very frustrating. There is the road ahead of you that you want to go down, and your back wheels are stuck in the snow. And you rock back and forth. You make it go forward just a little bit and use the gear shift. A gear shift is much more help than an automatic, you know, in this kind of situation. You rock back and you try to make a space where you can get enough head of steam so that you can pull yourself up out of that place where you are stopped and can't keep going down the highway. That's how we feel when we come to confession and we keep regretting and having remorse and feeling sorry for the fact that we've done whatever it is, and we want to try to do better, and it's all about me and my effort and the fact that I was not able to be righteous and good the way I ought to be, and next time I will try to be righteous and good the way I ought to be, and I ask Christ to help me to be righteous as I ought to be. Father John Baer says that the mistake that we've made there is that we've started with ourselves rather than Christ. That we can't start by saying, I know what my problem is. It is the fact that I am like this. I keep doing this particular sin, this thing, and I keep confessing it over and over again. I'm rocking back and forth and back and forth, and I want just enough head of steam to pull out. God, please get me out of this rut. Father John says that it is a basic spiritual law of spiritual life, that we never know clearly what our situation is, our situation or our circumstances at the beginning, because we are in the dark. We need to be illumined by a great light. We think we know exactly how things are, but actually we're so focused and centered on ourselves and the idea of self-improvement and the idea of how Christ, God, needs to help us, and we pray to him and ask him. He says, if this is our condition, If we come to Christ and we say, this is my problem, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, help me with this problem, that we have then created a Christ of our own imagination. A Christ that is based on us, but a new us that would be able to get out of that rut and do what we ought to do and go about our business. And that's not repentance. That's not repentance. Repentance is only when there is a change in our sense of the spiritual reality of things. We have got to start with Christ, not with us. The reality of things is that I am not the center of my own life. And what I need is not additional power to be able to lead my life in a more decent and righteous kind of way. As Herman put it yesterday, the problem is not a moral problem. We think it's a moral problem. We think when we come to confession, the problem is that I am not moral enough, that I keep doing something that is wrong, that is evil. And so we confess it. But the problem isn't a moral problem. The problem has to do with the reality that we understand or don't understand. The way we understand the world is darkened. We don't realize that we are in darkness. The people who sat in darkness think that they can see things perfectly clearly. It's only when we begin to doubt our self-assurance that we know exactly how things are. We are realistic in our worldly way of understanding that focuses on ourselves. And all we need is a little bit more help to be more righteous than we are. In that condition, repentance is not possible. Our hearts are not yet broken. And I don't mean broken when a situation where we suffer because we are brokenhearted, because we are not able to be as we would like to be in our own image of ourselves, with our image of Christ and how He ought to help us. That's not brokenheartedness. That's just another expression of pride, more delusion. We have to go out as Christ is going out when He leaves Nazareth to go into a dark world and to bring light. But first, we have to deal with the darkness within ourselves. First, we have to repent of our self-assurance that we know how things are and we know what we need. We cannot begin with ourselves. We have to begin with Christ. We have to begin with doubt in ourselves and faith that the one who can conquer death, the one who can deal with the temptations of the enemy, can enable us to do the same. That way, we will be able to go out beyond the revelation of Christ on Theophany and live Christian lives in the world, where it is, as St. Paul says, no longer I who live according to my own lights and small abilities, but it is Christ who lives in me. And I am able, because God has united Himself to my humanity, that by embracing the fullness of my humanity in Him, I find that I am able to live as a free human being in the world, free from the fear of death, free from the domination by my passions. And all that stands between us and that life is the necessity for us to struggle toward a true and real metanoia, a true repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.